This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
In this session, we will talk about the cleansing of the body, the cleaning of the body, from the minor impurities and the major impurities. And I will explain, inshallah. We will talk about cleaning from when using the toilet to cleaning in terms of ghusl and having a shower, according to the teachings of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Some may wonder, like, what in the world does this have to do with the 10 groups that Allah says He loves them in the Quran? Yes, in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about He loves at-tawabin, those who repent, those who purify their hearts from sin. But He also says that He loves those who purify their bodies, the external part. It's not just the internal, brothers and sisters. We need to take care of ourselves inside and out. And there's nothing to be shy about, brothers and sisters, nothing to be embarrassed. One time, a man from the disbelievers, al-mushrikeen, he went to Salman al-Farisi radiyallahu anhu, and he says, "Inna sahibakum la yu'allimakum hatta al-khira'ata." He says, does your companion, i.e. Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he teaches you even how to use the toilet? Qala ajal. He said, yes, Salman was not shy. He wasn't embarrassed that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam taught the ummah, men and women, how to clean themselves when they use the bathroom and so on. He says, na'am. He was proud. There was of dignity. Nothing wrong with that. Then he gave him 3 adab and etiquettes of using the bathroom, which we will touch on inshallah. So we are proud of that, and there's nothing to be shy about. Now, what makes this session different than all 10 sessions is that in this one, we will talk about 2 groups, not one. We spoke about al-muqsitin, the just and fair. We spoke about al-muttaqin, the religious people, the pious. We spoke about al-tawabin, those who repent. But here, I will speak about 2 groups. Both come from the same word. What are they? Yalla, bismillah, ready? In 2 ayat. Number one, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَاللَّهُ يُحِبُّ الْمُطَّهِّرِينَ. وَاللَّهُ يُحِبُّ الْمُطَّهِّرِينَ, which is Allah loves those who purify themselves. And in the other ayah, Allah says, وَيُحِبُّ الْمُتَطَهِّرِينَ. They sound very similar. So these are 2 different groups, but they both fall under the same word of purity of tahara. Now, I know it's a bit technical, but we have to appreciate this. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, I love these people. And I pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that this session, genuinely speaking, that next time we go to do ghusl, we clean ourselves and so on, we don't just do it because it's a prerequisite for my salah to be accepted and so on. But no, I want to be able to do it knowing that Allah will love me. If I clean myself properly, Allah will love me if I do the etiquettes that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has taught me. طيب, al-muttahirin and al-mutatahirin. Just something interesting I found, because some may wonder, what's possibly the difference between them? Some have said that al-muttahirin, the one without the ta, al-muttahirin and the shadda on the ta, you see that? Al-muttahirin, I know I said it 3 times, has more emphasis and more occurrence, al-muttahirin. As for al-mutatahirin, is more of specified times and is in regards to certain acts of worship, such as salah, making tawaf, which is through wudu, ghusl, shower. So there's something that is associated to an act of worship, naib. Taib. With this being said, brothers and sisters, I want to make something very clear. Yes, some of you may say, brother, I read this ayah before in tafsir that Allah, He loves al-muttahirin and al-mutatahirin. And some scholars, they said it's not just the cleaning of the body, but also the spiritual side and the inside of our hearts. That's true. But it also includes the external, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. And by the way, throughout the Quran, when you go through the word tahara, purity, it can mean multiple meanings. And one of them, to share with you, is purifying ourselves from our sins. Naam, at-taharatu min al-dhunub. Allah says in the Quran, خُذْ مِنْ أَمْوَالِهِمْ, take from their money, sadaqah, charity. Why, ya Allah, take money from us? Why? تُطَهِّرُهُمْ, to purify them. Purify them from their sins and shortcomings and so on. As the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what did he say? That charity extinguishes sins the way water extinguishes fire, right? And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he used to visit someone who is sick, واحد مريض, النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم إذا دخل على مريض يعوده قال لا بأس طهور إن شاء الله. No worries, you know, hopefully this will be elevated from you. طهور, may you be, this means of purification. Of what? Of sins. Because we know from the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, any hardship we go through, pain, no matter how small, no matter how big, it purifies us from our sins. May Allah purify us all. Ameen Ya Rabbal Alameen. Now, for the context of our session, these two groups, Al-Mutahhirin and Al-Mutatahhirin, we will talk about two things. Al-Tahara, purity from Al-Hadath Al-Asghar, the minor impurity, which is, for example, the human excrements, right, from urine, feces, and so on. And there's nothing to be embarrassed about our religion, as we just saw from Salman al-Farisi radiallahu anhu. Then you have al-hadath al-akbar, the major impurity, which is from what, for example, menstruation, an intimate relation between the spouses, and so on. Tayy, bismillah. What I will address first, the ayah that touches on the minor impurity as an example. Are you ready, inshallah? Once I'm done with that, I will go to the other ayah that addresses the major impurities. May Allah grant us success. Ameen Ya Rabbal Alameen. Ya Allah, Bismillah. Allah says in the Quran, A'udhu Billahi Minash Shaitan Rajeem, La taqum fihi abada, la masjidun ussisa ala taqwa min awwali yawmin ahaqqu an taquma fihi. Allah says, O Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, excellent. He says, O Muhammad, don't ever pray in that masjid. So there's a masjid that was built, masjid, yes, it's a masjid, but was built by the munafiqeen, the hypocrites. And it was near Masjid Quba, Masjid Quba, which we know in Medina, right? Or around the limits of the city of Medina. Then Allah tells Prophet Muhammad ﷺ, certainly a masjid founded on taqwa, righteousness, from the first day. What masjid is that? Masjid Quba. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow us to pray in this beautiful masjid. All right? There's a special reward for that. So whoever prays in the masjid that was established from the first day, from the get-go, upon righteousness, is more worthy for you to pray on. Are you ready for the coming part? فِيهِ رِجَالٌ يُحِبُّونَ أَن يَتَطَهَرُوا. In that masjid, the goers to this masjid, there are men who love to be purified. Wallahu yuhibbu al-mutahhirin, and Allah loves, Allah will honor, Allah will elevate, Allah will support those who purify themselves. All right, we need to understand, what does it mean that these people, the goers to the masjid, used to purify themselves? We have a hadith from Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu to make us understand this ayah. Yalla, bismillah. He says, عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال, نزلت هذه الآية في أهل قباء. This ayah was revealed for the people that go to Masjid قباء. فيه رجال يحبون أن يتطهروا. Then he says, قال, كانوا يستنجون بالماء. They used to clean themselves after, you know, the human excrements, as we mentioned, from urine, feces, and so on. They used to wash themselves with water. And Allah loved that from them. Because, brothers and sisters, you have to realize something. The use of water, especially at that time, it's not something you just open a tap water and it's readily available. It requires work. There's not much water. And these people were able to afford some to be able to clean themselves with it. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow you and I to be able to benefit from the blessings that we have. Ameen Ya Rabbal Alameen. So here Allah praised them for the usage of water while cleaning themselves. Now here, people will say, is it that big of a deal? Oh, you bet it's a big of a deal. Check about this. Check this out. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, look what he says. While he was passing by two graves, people are dead. People, are you guys with me? They're dead. في القبور. Then he says, أما إنهما ليعذبان وما يعذبان في كبير. The two people in these two graves are being punished for something that is not major, as in what? As in they did not think it was a big deal, but it's a big deal. It's a major thing, subhanAllah. For someone, people ask, how do I know if something is a major sin or a minor sin? If the punishment goes from dunya to grave to akhirah, that's a sign, it's a major sin. So ya Rasulullah, what's the story of these two graves? What was the sin that they did? أَمَّا أَحَدُهُمَا فَكَانَ يَمْشِي بِالنَّمِيمَةِ. One of them used to walk around people, intermingle with others, gossiping. May Allah protect us from gossip. In another narration, بالغيبة, backbiting. You see how disastrous that is? We want to enjoy our gathering for 1-2 minutes, but we pay the fee for that. May Allah protect us and forgive us. And wallahi, there's no joy in that. وَأَمَّا الْآخَرْ, as for the second grave, okay, فَكَانَ لَا يَسْتَتِرُ مِنْ بَوْلِهِ. That man, that woman, used to be careless towards when they use the bathroom. طب يا أخي, watch out in terms of careless, who sees them. The door is widely open. Doesn't matter. Who cares? We're all guys. What are you talking about? Right? لا يستتر. And also from the concept of cleanliness, as in when they urinate or they use the bathroom, they don't take care of the fact that making sure it doesn't come on their clothes, doesn't come on the rest of their body. They were not watchful. And if it does happen and come on their body and so on and their clothes, they don't care towards cleaning them. So not cleaning oneself properly after using the bathroom caused that individual to be punished in the grave, brothers and sisters. And we have to realize something. We cannot knowingly know that when I go pray, I have najasa on me, filth, because that would cause me not to have my salah accepted. May Allah protect us and grant us wisdom. Ameen, Rabbil Alameen. Then the Prophet ﷺ also said another hadith, just to show you, I'm showing you just how serious this case is, but I don't want you to be paranoid, all right, and like, oh, be extreme. No, I'm just trying to make sure that it's a serious case. It's worth to take a whole session and talk about these two groups. It makes you be aware why Allah said, I love these people, I love them. Do you know what the Prophet ﷺ said? تنزهوا من البول. Beware of smearing yourself when you urinating. Watch out. Why, Ya Rasulullah? فَإِنَّ عَامَّةِ عَذَابِ الْقَبْرِ مِنْهُ. The majority of the punishment in the grave is because people not caring how they utilize the bathroom. The majority of the punishment in the grave. This is authentic narration in Sahih al-Jami'. So this is a matter that we have to take seriously, and we emphasize with all honesty and respect. We emphasize very much in the society, because here you clearly can see people, and it happens around the world, I understand. But in the fact of carelessness, as you know what, they use the bathroom and they head right out. Many do not even wash their hands, don't even clean themselves properly and so on. Because of their culture, they don't see it's a big deal, whatever. But in Islam, it's a serious deal. We go from Allah loving us to going from we being punished all the way to the grave. طيب. Let's go to Salman al-Farisi to teach us some etiquettes from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Salman al-Farisi, when he was being mocked by the disbelievers, oh Islam, your Prophet teaches you everything, even how to clean yourself when you use the bathroom. He says, أجل نعم. And look to what he said. نَهَانَ أَن نَسْتَقْبِلَ الْقِبْلَةَ بِغَائِطٍ أَوْ بَوْلٍ. The sunnah, the etiquette when we use the bathroom is we don't use the bathroom while facing the direction of where we pray. They go at a different angle when they want to use the bathroom and so on. But brother, what if the way my house is built, the toilet faces exactly like the qibla? And you do your best, and طبعا this is not within your hands, and Allah will not hold you accountable. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow us to follow the sunnah of the Prophet and not be directly facing the qibla. Number two, Salman teaches us and the kuffar at that time, أو نستنجي بأيماننا. And when we wanna clean our bodies, we don't use our right hand. Okay, we do not use our right hand. We use our left hand when we clean ourselves. That's the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. طيب, what's the third one? أو نكتفي بأقل من ثلاثة أحجار. And to not wipe ourselves with less than 3 stones or rocks. At that time, that was the tools. They had the rocks or the stones to clean themselves. But the main thing here is the number 3. Not to have less than 3 wipes when we clean ourselves. This is our deen. We're proud. May Allah make us strong like Salman al-Farisi radiyallahu anhu. And a question may come. Okay, brother, I'm going to do my best to start using my left hand. And inshallah, I'll make sure I clean myself pretty well. But I have a question for you. Okay, what's the question? What if I'm using the bathroom and some of the urine or so comes on my clothes? Okay, it kind of smears a little bit on my clothes. What should I do? Should I wash my entire clothes and so on? We learn from our mashayikh and scholars that if it touches a certain part of your clothing, you just wash that area. You don't have to wash the entire cloth. If you wish to change your clothing, put it in laundry and wash it all up, no problem, inshallah. But it is fine if you just wash that area where that urine fell. May Allah protect us and purify us inside and out. Ameen, Rabbil Alameen. And once again, the point of this session is not to make us very extreme. Things happen, right? Someone uses the bathroom, he urinates or she urinates, and then what? They clean themselves well. But then afterwards, it's natural as a human body, a drop or two may fall into our underclothing. That is fine. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. May Allah protect us. Ameen Rabbil Alameen. And for example, if someone did not know they had the najasa before salah, and they entered into salah, and they prayed, then they found out that there's najasa, that should be fine, inshallah. They don't have to repeat their salah. And the example that was utilized is when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam took off his shoes when he was notified by Jibreel alayhi salam that there was najasa in it. Jibreel alayhi salam did not tell the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to repeat the salah entirely. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. So this is for all ages, youngsters and elders. We take it serious, inshallah, to be able to clean ourselves. May Allah grant us wisdom. Ameen Rabbil Alameen. This was the minor impurity, Al-Hadath Al-Asghar, the one ayah that we spoke about, Al-Muttahirin. Now, let's move to the second ayah. What's the second ayah? The one about Al-Mutatahirin, which kind of refers to the major impurities. All right, Bismillah. Allah says in the Quran, وَيَسْأَلُونَكَ عَنِ الْمَحِيضِ. They ask you, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, about menstruation, the woman's cycle. And based on the reason of revelation, as I mentioned in a previous session, the reason of this revelation is what happened with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the companions about this matter. So Rasulullah sallam, when he was asked about approaching the spouse while she was in that situation in menstruation, he taught us what: do everything towards the spouse. Everything is fine, to eat together, be in the same room, same house. Even the Prophet sallallahu, he put his head on the lap of Aisha while she was in that cycle, and he even read Quran. Everything is fine, but he said, do not be intimate, do not have intimacy. So Allah says, قُلْ هُوَ أَذَى. That menstruation is a harm, it's a test of hardship. فَاعْتَزِلُ النِّسَاءَ فِي الْمَحِيضِ. So avoid approaching the spouse in intimacy during that time. وَلَا تَقْرَبُوهُنَّ حَتَّى يَطُرْنَ. Do not come close in terms of intimacy until they're purified. Now here it is. فَإِذَا تَطَهَّرْنَ. And once they become purified, okay, فَأْتُوهُنَّ مِنْ حَيْثُ أَمَرَكُمُ اللَّهِ. Then approach them the way Allah specified, the way it is halal. Then look at this beautiful ending. إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُحِبُّ التَّوَّابِينَ. Allah loves those who repent. We spoke about it in the previous session. We gave the example of those who made the sin of approaching the spouse while they were in that cycle. That was haram, so, but still you can make tawbah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But what we did not speak in detail was the second part. وَيُحِبُّ الْمُتَطَهِّرِينَ. And Allah loves those who purify themselves. One of the mashayikh, he says it very nicely. He said, Allah said in this ayah two groups. He loves those who repent, those who purify themselves internally. And then Allah loves those who purify themselves externally, their body. And that is our deen that we are proud of. We want to be clean inside and out. May Allah purify us all. Ameen, Ya Rabbil Alameen. Now, what does it mean, Allah loves Al-Mutatahirin? All right. When it comes here, the matter of ghusl, which is the shower, which is a requirement from Al-Hadath Al-Akbar, such as we said, intimacy, end of menstruation, and so on. All right. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was asked by a sister how one should perform ghusl from the menstruation and from the janaba and the after the intimacy. And Aisha radiallahu anha, she says something very interesting and powerful. She said, ni'ma nisa'u nisa'u al-ansar. يعني what great women are the women of the Ansar, the residents of Medina, the ones who gave the support to the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم and those who emigrated from Mecca to Medina. لم يكن يمنعهن الحياء أن يتفقهن في الدين. Their shyness and modesty was never a barrier for them to educate themselves towards the deen. So we have to make it very clear here. It is not an acceptable excuse in the sight of Allah, someone to say, I was shy to ask about this, knowing this thing is a prerequisite for your salah to be accepted. This thing is a major part of our deen. So if we don't know, we need to ask, we know the details. And this is what the sister have said. But let me, before I share with you the steps and so on, something very powerful about this ayah. Some of the ulama, they said, Allah said, وَيُحِبُّ الْمُتَطَهِّرِينَ. Allah loves those who purify themselves. So some of them said, Alhamdulillah, Allah did not say, وَيُحِبُّ الْمُتَطَهِّرَاتِ. Allah loves the women who purify themselves. Because then the men would have not been honored to be in that group that are loved by Allah for purifying themselves. So we are grateful that Allah says, وَيُحِبُّ الْمُتَطَهِّرِينَ, not specifying a gender, but in a way it's general. Alhamdulillah, both men and women to benefit from this. All right. Now, and as I mentioned in early this session, it's a somewhat technical, somewhat fiqhi aspect, but you know, jurisprudence of our deen, but this is part of our deen. You know, not everything has to be like, you leave the session like spiritually so high. Yes, we have to do that, alhamdulillah, 100%. But we have to also know our deen from the other aspects, like the one that we're talking about. May Allah bless you and educate us. Beneficial knowledge. Ameen, Rabbil Alameen. When it comes to ghusl, showering, there is the bare minimum. Okay, there is the bare minimum. And there is the sunnah way. Okay, what do you mean? Like the bare minimum is not sunnah? No, it's sunnah. It's as in like, yeah, it's permissible. You fulfilled the ghusl. Yes, the bare minimum. But there's other steps that are voluntary. We learn from the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. All right, what happened here? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was asked by this wonderful sister. Her name is Asma. Asma'u bintu Shakalin, as some scholars have said. عن غسل المحيض, and how to purify one from the menstruation. And here, inshallah, I want to first tell you not the details of this hadith. I want to go and tell you, inshallah, the bare minimum first. What's the bare minimum? For both menstruation, janaba, ghusl in general, it's the same. To have the intention, okay, you're going to go, inshallah, wash yourself. To have the intention, this is a ghusl from that major impurity that took place. Then run the water over the entire body, head to toe. Okay, so number one, the intention. Number two, run the water across the entire body. And there's something many people forget, which is rinsing the mouth and nose. That is taken as part of the external. So don't forget these two. May Allah bless you. Rinsing the mouth and the nose. No, brother, that's internal to the body. That's not exterior. No, remember, when you make wudu, does the water go in your mouth? Yes. طيب. We know if food or drink enters the body, okay, the ma'idah, the stomach, that's when you kind of lose your fasting, correct? So you have to make sure that, remember, the mouth, no, you're still out there, a part of that body when you shower yourself head to toe. And very important emphasis by the Prophet ﷺ is that water should reach the scalp, okay? The scalp, the water has to reach it, the roots of the hair. It's very important. We don't want to do the ghusl where we just get some water and wipe over our hair. No, the water needs to reach the roots. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us guidance. Ameen, ya Rabbil Alameen. Okay, so that was the bare minimum, okay? And just to make it clear as well, this is educational, is that when we do the ghusl, be sure that you cover, when the water runs through your body, the areas that may not easily have the water come to it. Especially that many of us, when we shower, okay, it doesn't right away, the water comes under our armpits, right? So you may have to scrub over your arm here. And if someone, for example, you know, overweight or so, and their stomach, it's educational, as I mentioned, has like layers and so on, make sure that the water goes through your body as much as you basically possibly can, from head to toe, as mentioned. Tayyib, brother, tell me the sunnah, tell me the extra steps, the way Rasulullah ﷺ said in one of the hadith, and how he perhaps explained it even to that sister and other narrations as well. You go and have the intention, just like the bare minimum. You have the intention to have the ghusl. And then you say, Bismillah. And then we wash our hands three times. Then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we know from the authentic hadith, he would then wash his private part with his left hand. Okay? After he does that alayhi salatu wasalam, he has his hands cleaned before continuing. So remember, intention, Bismillah, washing the hands, right? I said that right? Washing the hands three times, then washing the private part with the left hand. After that, he washes his hands again. Or cleans his hands, to be specific. And I'll mention the hadith for you, just for reference. وَفِي رِوَايَةٍ ثُمَّ دَلَّكَ يَدَهُ بِالْأَرْضِ أَوْ بِالْحَائِطِ. He used to put his hands on some sand to kind of wipe out whatever might have came from while cleaning the private part. Our mashayikh, they teach us, you know, we don't need to use the sand or the wall. For example, now you have ceramics and so on. You're able to use the soap to clean and wash your hands because now you're about to continue your ghusl. Then Rasulullah ﷺ would teach us to make a full wudu, just like how one does for salah. Afterwards, brings water onto his body, starting with the head. And you go thoroughly through the hair. Make sure, as I said, the scalp and the roots. This is even with the bare minimum. Okay, but he starts with the head, and then he goes through the rest of the body. The sunnah, as I mentioned, is to rub over his body so that there's a part, if there's no water reached it, you make sure, underarm, you know what, the layers of the stomach and so on, everything is cleaned. May Allah grant us wisdom and ability to fulfill the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And once he was done, alayhi salatu wasalam, then they would do the dhikr after that aspect. And one of the adhkar that we were taught from our mashayikh is even the dhikr, for example, of kafaratul majlis. Subhanakallahu bihamdik, ashadu an la ilaha illa ant, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk, as one of them. This was the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And just one technical side of things, some sisters may ask, if I had braids, right, do I untie it or do I keep it? According to what we learned, if it was the janaba as the major impurity after, for example, intimacy and so on, then there's no need to undo the braids. But make sure once again, I know it's emphasized because Rasulullah emphasized it, that the water comes to the roots. But after menstruation, the recommendation is to undo the braids for that type of major impurity, and Allah knows best, and definitely there might be difference of opinion with these matters, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, may Allah grant us wisdom. And before I end, inshallah, and conclude in this session, brothers and sisters, I want you, bi-idhnillah, when you go to the bathroom, you want to have ghusl, you want to clean yourselves, remember what Allah said. Allah Jalla Jalalu, He says that He loves those who purify themselves. And when Allah says that, Allah knows it's difficult sometimes. Yes, it's difficult. Some people have to do it early in the morning because they had a dream, a wet dream, and then they have to now take a shower. It's difficult. And then you remember the reward of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wallahu yuhib. Allah will love those who purify themselves. So approach it in that angle. Don't just approach it as it's a prerequisite for me to make wudu, for me to perform my salah. No, don't see it just as a burden, but see it as an opportunity to gain the reward of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Especially with our youngsters that might be watching, right? They rush to the bathroom. Okay, you want to rush to the bathroom, but don't rush in the bathroom. You want to rush to the bathroom, that's one thing. But don't rush in the bathroom. Just make sure you do things right. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us wisdom. And if you ever do a mistake, don't be shy to clean it yourself or talk to mom and dad to help you clean it. This is part of our deen. And I guarantee you, inshallah, your mom and dad will be very proud with you. Bi-idhnillahi subhanahu wa ta'ala. Lastly, brothers and sisters, just remember, as Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, At-tuhuru shatrul iman. Purity, which includes wudu in it, is half of our faith. That's how important it is to be clean, to be pure. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us wisdom. Ameen ya Rabbil Alameen. So with that being said, I am done with this session. Jazakumullahu khairan.